is out.
Back to Shattering Myths. I was expecting that we would have IQ Al Rasooli on the phone with us today, and that it is the second hour on Friday, and did promise that at the beginning of the show, but we have not yet heard from IQ. Hope everything is fine and well with him, but we don't have him, so we're going to turn to the news at this time. One of the things that came out in the news yesterday was that thousands of Muslims living in Israel, either in the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, or in Gaza, turned out for a funeral of three of their own, including two teenagers, which the Reuters said were killed by Israeli army gunfire and some of the worst violence in the occupied West Bank in years. First of all, the West Bank isn't occupied. It's Judea and Samaria. If there is an occupation of it that is inappropriate, it would be the Islamic occupation of it. Yahweh made it clear. He gave this little tiny strip of land of Israel to Yehudim. It is their homeland. The West Bank is, if you're going to use the term occupied, you have to use it from the opposite perspective. And that is that it has interlopers in it who do not belong, and they would be the Muslims. Now, the Israelis shot the two boys because the two teenagers, poisoned with Islam, were enraged and were throwing Molotov cocktails at the guard posts along a checkpoint. So if you run up to a guard post, and you start throwing things that will burn people alive, you're going to get shot. Now, of course, from the Islamic position, these boys didn't behave badly. No, of course not. Throwing something that's going to explode in fire at another human being, that's not a bad thing to do. That's a good thing to do. So they were celebrating them as martyrs. The upsurge in unrest was triggered on Tuesday by the death of Masara Abu Hamdiya. Now, Masara Abu Hamdiya is a 64-year-old prisoner who was serving a life term in an Israeli jail and suffering from cancer. Even this shows the mindset of Reuters. Suffering for cancer, and he was this old guy, and he was in prison, and he died. How heartless could those Israelis be? He died of cancer because he was a lifetime chain smoker. He was in prison because he was found guilty of ordering a young Muslim boy to go plant a bomb inside of an Israeli cafeteria. A cafe. And the only reason that he's in prison for attempted murder and not for murder is because he's a lousy bomb maker. The bomb he created for the cafe did not detonate. So if you're going to celebrate this man's life, if you're going to mourn this man's death, you've got to be one warped dude. The Palestinian officials accused Israel of delaying treatment for Hamdiya and gave him full military honors and a funeral on Thursday in Hebron, where masked gunmen fired into the sky as his body arrived at the mosque in the divided West Bank city. He's not a warrior. This guy wasn't a member of a military that went out to do battle defending their country against another military. This guy made a bomb to be put inside of a restaurant to kill innocent people. That's repulsive. In a wave of disturbances that followed his death, four Palestinian youths threw firebombs at the Israeli checkpoint in the West Bank, and that is why they were shot and killed. The soldiers returned fire when firebombs were being thrown at them, and the two teenagers, 17 and 18, died as a result of their stupidity. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas said that Israel's use of lethal force showed that it wanted to provoke chaos in the Palestinian territories and avoid any moves towards a peace deal. Yeah, that's the upside world of religion, the upside world of Islam. He creates a atmosphere that causes these two young teenagers, well, old teenagers, but young men, to go and throw firebombs at Israelis. And they get killed for having done something so immoral and aggressive. And yet the Israelis, for shooting them, are the ones who provoked chaos. Not the ones that threw the firebombs, but the one that stopped them. That's how inverted, how upside down the mindset is of those poisoned with Islam. The wave of violence erupted 2 days or 2 weeks after U.S. President Barack Obama paid his first official visit to the region. Yeah, it was like Obama's message when he went during his first term to give speeches in Cairo. And based upon what he did, the entire region developed into riots and wars and civil unrest and unleashed a wave of fundamentalist Islam. And all of the consequences of that were secular governments were overturned by fundamentalist Islamic governments. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. He had the same effect this time. He's quite the peacemaker, don't you think? Urging the Israelis and the Palestinians, there is no such thing as a Palestinian. Never has been, never will be. To resume long-stalled peace talks. Why would you want to give people a country carved out of your own that are shooting rockets into your cities, that are throwing firebombs at checkpoints? The bodies of Nassar and Belisi, their blood-stained faces clearly visible, were carried on stretchers through the packed streets. Why? To encourage more of that. To say, hey, young boy, if you want to go out as a hero, if you want to look, you know, like one of these boys that is going to go and be included in Allah's brothel with the multiple virgins, this is what you ought to do. They were celebrating the uncivil, disgusting, aggressive, and deadly activities these boys had undertaken. That is what creates the atmosphere whereby it is impossible to have peace with these people. Oh, martyrs, rest, rest, oh, martyrs, we will continue the struggle, the crowds chanted as the lifeless teenagers passed by. It's repulsive. It's repulsive even that Reuters would present it this way. The Israeli officials urged Palestinian leaders to push for calm as they continued to fire rockets and attack the border checkpoints. And the Israelis chose to dismiss suggestions that a third uprising or intifada was brewing in the West Bank, a territory Israel captured in 1967, a territory that Israel reclaimed as its own as a result of the 1967 attack by Muslims. It is stunning that it can be presented like this. And, of course, there's no explanation of the intifada. What is an intifada? Well, back at the time that Fatah and the PLO were conceived, and it became apparent that the PLO and Fatah, of one organization, the same organization, were having no success in trying to eliminate Israel, kill every Jew, and eliminate the name Yisrael from the face of the earth. They were having no success because the Muslims living inside of Israel were the most satisfied, freest, most productive, healthiest, best educated, most prosperous Muslims in the world. The last thing they wanted to do is to be like the rest of Muslims in every other country and have no freedoms, have no opportunity for education, have no ability, no hope in their lives. They had hope. They were prosperous. They were treated as citizens. But that couldn't be, because Muslims have to prove that their God is better than the God of the Jews. And therefore, if Muslims have better lives when integrated in a community where the God of the Jews prevailed, well, that's a black eye on Islam. So the leaders of the Islamic religion decided that there would be an intifada. And rather than going to work, rather than participating in the Israeli society that had been so good for these Muslims, they were told that it was their duty, according to Allah, to kill those who had treated them so well. And they began to be terrorists. And they attacked, and they killed, and they bludgeoned. And so they're doing it again. The term, the third intifada, is to describe an uprising where the Muslims terrorize their hosts. Underscoring the potential for more violence, the Israeli army said that for a third straight day, rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip into southern Israel. What was the one thing that Hamas gave their word, said, we won't do anymore if the Israelis just stop responding, if the Israelis will stop shooting at and bombing our rocket sites, our weapons caches? If they will stop doing that, then we will absolutely stop sending rockets into Israel. Israel stopped. They honored the agreement. What did the Muslims do? Didn't honor their side, did they? Do you hear the world screaming that Hamas, the Islamic terrorist organization that controls Gaza, welched on their agreement, and therefore they should not be trusted, and therefore there should not be discussions of trading land for promises of peace with these savages because they can't be trusted? No. What did the President of the United States say? I'll ignore the fact that they've welched on every agreement, that their word means nothing, that their promises of peace won't last for 5 minutes. Give them their own country where they can amass as many weapons as they want and where you can do nothing about it. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Mess. Well, welcome back to Shattering Mist. If you'd like to participate in this discussion, our number is 1-877-300-7645. We're recovering this story about the most recent uprising in Israel and of Hamas breaking its agreed truce and sending rockets into Israel, and of the Fatah movement in the occupied West Bank, occupied by Fatah, them sending young boys against Israeli checkpoints with firebombs, and them parading an attempted murderer as he was a full as if he were a slain military officer. The reason we do this is because so far Yahweh has been 100% accurate in his predictions. And he has said a lot about what is going to happen over the next 20 years. In fact, he probably has said more about what's going to happen over the next 20 years than he's even said about what has happened in the previous 6,000 years of human history. And what we find is that there are three overriding influences that profoundly change and shape our immediate future. One of these is the thing we're talking about here, of Muslims acting badly, of them coveting and ultimately getting a peace treaty with Israel that makes Israel so vulnerable that they launch a final attack against Israel. They lose, but in the process of that attack, all of the Islamic world is essentially destroyed. But in that destruction, about one quarter of the Earth's population dies, because just as we have witnessed Russia and China and Iran supporting one side in Syria, you have Europe and the United States and Saudi Arabia supporting the other side. And so it's not just going to be Muslims wanting to destroy Israel and killing every Jew. There are stakeholders on opposite sides of this game that have very large nuclear arsenals. The second overriding element, beyond the enragement of Muslims, and God said of them that they will be wild asses of men, their hand will be raised against their brother's hand against them, and they will live in hostility with the whole world, which is exactly what we're witnessing, particularly as they kill one another. The second aspect of this, of the cloud that is going to hover above this planet over the next 20 years, is that there will be religious integration. The first thing that Pope Francis called for was interreligious dialogue. And he says, specifically, I'm speaking of Islam. We all worship the same God. They're, you know, followers of the God of Abraham. Where we need to work on our common ground so that we all become brothers working together. Religious integration under a false prophet is one of the things that is going to occur, because religion is the absolute best control mechanism that has ever been conceived. Military and politics are excellent control mechanisms, but no control mechanism has ever been as effective as religion. And what is Satan interested in? Control. He's the Lord. Ownership. The third aspect is a collapse economically, because people are going to be acquiescing to a new regime. They're going to surrender their liberties. They're going to align themselves with a new economic power, because the value of existing currencies are going to be wiped out. Loans will be forgiven to get people to acquiesce to the new leadership. The savings of those who have prepared for the future will be eliminated, will be stolen. The currency that we use now will no longer be valuable. You'll have to sign up for an entirely new electronic currency so that everything that you do not only can be monitored but be controlled. Push a button and you have no more money. Push a button, you can buy. Push another button, you can no longer buy. Your allegiance will determine whether or not you can even participate in the new economy. All three of those things have to emerge together. So that's why we spent yesterday focusing on the collapse of Europe. And today we have news showing that America is failing as well. And the collapse that we witnessed in Cyprus is just so indicative of how sovereign nations on one day, Friday, end of business on Friday, Cyprus was a sovereign nation. And it had, its citizens had access to their money in Cyprus banks. By the end of that day, they had none. But they were no longer sovereign. They were controlled by the International Monetary Fund. They had lost all choice over their future. That we're no longer streaming live, haven't for the last 30 minutes, but this program is still, okay, we are now back live. Thank you, Scott. I guess for the last 30 minutes we were recording, so our discussion is at least in the archive. What we began to do here is a combination of two things. One is that we were expecting IQ Al-Rasuli today, but we don't know what happened with IQ. We hope that he is safe. So we turned to the news. The first item in the news was this most recent uprising in Israel, and we discussed specifically how the uprising in Israel is one of the things that we should keep an eye on, because it's going to play an enormous role in the next 20 years. That the world is going to increasingly turn against Israel. That's going to become overtly anti-Semitic, that there will be all sorts of cries for Israel to surrender territory, making itself more vulnerable for promises of peace from people who do not honor their promises. Now, here in the case of Fatah, you have two boys that were throwing firebombs at Israel. In the case of Hamas, you have them shooting rockets again when they swore that they would stop doing so. And they say their justification for doing so is that one of their terrorist leaders died in Israeli jail of cancer. Now, he died in jail of cancer because he was a chain smoker. And he was in jail because he was convicted and acknowledged that he had built a bomb and had deployed the bomb, had another Muslim boy deploy the bomb in an Israeli cafeteria, a cafe. He is imprisoned for attempted murder, not for actual murder, because he was a lousy bomb builder. It didn't go off. But we should always keep in mind the upside-down view of the world that is conceived in religion, particularly the Islamic religion, where God is modeled after Satan. Because when we do, we are not blindsided by their responses. When we do, we're not going to be like the nincompoop that's the President of the United States, where he's saying that the best hope for Israel is to surrender land to a mythical people for promises of peace, when in fact, every time that Muslims have been engaged in any kind of an agreement, they have never honored their side of the agreement. Their Quran, it tells them that they don't have to. In fact, their Quran tells them that they shouldn't. The opening lines of the ninth surah. Treaty between a Muslim and non-Muslims is not binding on the Muslim. And so this is the reality that we face. And when you read news stories like this one, which has presented the Jews as being the bad guys for killing the two teenagers, as opposed to the teenagers being rotten because they provoked it by throwing firebombs at the Israelis, who simply responded to them. The reason that we have to talk about this sort of thing is that if you are lost in this cloud of deception about the three primary changes to our world over the next 20 years, then you're going to be lost. You're just going to be like a leaf caught in the tide, you know, a twig flowing down the river, going along with the flow, having no concept of what is happening around you or why. But there are three elements, as I shared in the last segment, that are going to coalesce, that's going to profoundly change our world over the next 20 years. The first of those is that the kind of animosity, death and destruction and damnation that is associated with Islam is going to increase exponentially. As bad as it has been, he ain't seen nothing yet. Islam and in league with the secular socialist humanists are going to force Israel to surrender territory for promises of peace. When the nation is vulnerable and can no longer defend itself within months of that agreement, they will attack en masse. That is the Magog War. It is a unified war of all Islamic countries against Israel. And Israel would lose because they can no longer defend themselves, because the United States primarily has shipped far too many weapons to the Muslims for Israel to defend itself any longer. But one out of four people on the planet are going to die in that war. So just because you don't live in Israel, you ought to be real concerned. And the reason that so many people are going to die is what we're seeing in Syria, where you have the United States and Europe on one side, and you have Russia and China on the other. And because of that kind of interaction, the whole world's going to be enveloped in this war. You're also going to see religious integration, and I shared in the last segment that Pope Francis's first public declaration was that his first priority was to create a union between Muslims and Catholics, to begin interfaith dialogue between Islam and Catholicism, not for the purpose of just saying, oh, you got your religion, we have ours. No, his concept was clearly articulated in his words. It was to show that there is no difference between the religions. It's true, they worship the same God, a God modeled after Satan. And the third aspect is something we spent all of our time in the program yesterday on, and even the day before, which is the collapse of the world economically. Currency no longer being worth anything. Loans being forgiven for to acquiesce loyalty, surrender, capitulation. Bank accounts being frozen, stolen. And it will happen very fast. Just as in Cyprus on Friday, everyone was living their lives. They had access to their savings, their checking accounts. They were a free and independent country. By Friday evening, that was all gone. When they woke up the next morning, they had no access to their money, even their own money. They had no control over their lives. Cyprus is no longer a sovereign state. It is controlled by the International Monetary Fund and the European Central Bank. They have now dictated all political and economic terms on the tiny island. It's going to happen that fast. It's going to happen in Europe that fast. It's going to happen in America that fast. Don't think that you're going to have a lot of time. Now, returning to this particular article, it's from Reuters. It says that an Al-Qaeda group that is called the Majlis Shura al-Mujahideen has claimed responsibility for the rocket attacks. So that what they're trying to infer here is, oh, it's not Hamas. No, Hamas is a moderate political group that just wants, you know, a statehood for the poor mythical people known as the Palestinians. There is no connection between Majlis Shura al-Mujahideen and Al-Qaeda. None. Al-Qaeda doesn't have any influence anymore. In fact, Al-Qaeda's influence ended shortly after 9/11. You know, when we raided and murdered Osama bin Laden, raided his compound and murdered him. By the way, the notion that he was reaching for a gun or had a gun and they shot him because they were afraid that he was going to shoot the Americans who had gone in there. That was not the case. It has been now publicly disclosed that they shot him when he had absolutely no weapon within reach. And in fact, there was no weapons even found until long after, and they were doing a systematic search of the room and they were nowhere near him. They went in to kill him. They didn't want to try him. Because if they tried him, then America's war against Al-Qaeda falls apart. And it is true that the whole movement of the world over the next 20 years is being clouded so that most people are ignorant and unaware of what's happening. This group, the Shura al-Mujahideen, Shura means it's a council of Muslim religious leaders. Mujahideen is a jihadist. It's a holy warrior in Islam. They have no association with Al-Qaeda, but they have a direct link to Islam. They're fundamentalist Muslims. And they said, oh, they have every right to fire rockets again because their guy died in an Israeli jail. Well, they don't mention the fact, of course, he died of cancer, that he was in the Israeli jail because he had planted a bomb in a Jerusalem cafe. They didn't mention that he died of cancer because he was a chain smoker. But in their warped mind, that justified them welching on their agreement not to send rockets into Israel, and they have resumed. Israel says Gaza's ruling Hamas movement bears overall responsibility for any rocket fire and has urged Egypt, which will broker the November truce, to use its influence with the Islamic group. Well, of course it's true. There are no rockets in Gaza that are not under Hamas's control. Quote, the Egyptians are very active. Dialogue with them is constant, and their interest is in keeping stability and preventing firing violence and terrorism. An Israeli spokesperson said that is not true. The entrance of Egypt is to destroy Israel. And conditions are so miserable now in Egypt. Now that the Muslim Brotherhood has taken over, the economy is in absolute shambles. They are totally dependent on outside sources of currency. They're bankrupt. They are no longer sovereign in the sense that they now go with cup in hand begging the world for enough currency to live month to month. When it continues to erode, ultimately, the Muslim Brotherhood will have no choice but to say, yes, things are miserable here, but it's not our fault. You shouldn't be protesting against us. It's the fault of those Jews over there. If we go wipe them out, everything will be fine. For the second time year, the death of a Palestinian prisoner has sparked widespread anti-Israeli disturbances. In February, Afat Jaad, 30, died in an Israeli jail. Palestinians say Hamda complained of feeling sick last August, but was only discovered to be suffering from cancer in January. They said that he did not receive adequate treatment. Now, mind you, this moron is in jail because he planted a bomb in a Jewish cafe. That's why he's in jail. And yet, the Israelis are supposed to provide cancer treatment to keep him alive? What planet are these Palestinians from? They say they did not receive adequate treatment and that he should have been released because of his illness. Why should he be released? Was he willing to tell the innocent civilians in that cafeteria that, boy, you better flee because I'm about ready to bomb this, and you know I don't want an innocent person to have to suffer? I don't recall him saying that at the time he planted the bomb. The Israelis, of course, have said that Hamia is serving a life term for attempted murder after sending a suicide bomber into a Jerusalem cafe, and he was a heavy smoker, a chain smoker, in fact, and that he received adequate care. So welcome back to the final segment of Shattering Myths for today. We're going to turn the page, but not move very far geographically and not move at all religiously. This is a story from Reuters. The Syrian government is sending members of its irregular militias for guerrilla combat training at a secret base in Iran, in a move to bolster its armed forces drained by 2 years of fighting and defections. The discreet program has been described as an open secret in some areas loyal to President Bashar al-Assad, who is trying to crush the revolt against his family's four-decade hold on power. Now, that is a real serious change. Up to this point, the militias have been primarily mobs of mujahideen, Sunni Muslims armed to the teeth, who have come into Syria most as foreign fighters. The first onslaught came from Iraq. They were armed by the United States. That was the Awakening Council's consequence. The next came from Saudi Arabia. They came from Libya. From all over the Islamic world, militants armed with Western weapons came in and they turned a peaceful protest into a civil war, into a war that is Sunni versus Shia. Now, in this war, it is true that Iran has aided and abetted Bashar al-Assad. But Iran has not actually engaged in terms of providing troops. And the amount of weaponry that Iran has provided appears to be somewhat limited. But now that the Iranian government is actually training the militants, the irregulars, the militias, to conduct guerrilla warfare. Now, that's an entirely different story and a major escalation, because Iran already has a very large, extraordinarily well-trained, and lavishly equipped militia in Syria. It's Hezbollah. And so for them now to train and equip and prepare a militia that won't be controlled by Hezbollah, It's very, very serious upgrading of that conflict. Reuters interviewed four fighters who said they were taken on, taken to a combat course in Iran, as well as opposition sources who said that they have been documenting such cases. Israel's intelligence chief and a Western diplomat have said Iran, Assad's main backer, is helping to train at least 50,000 militants, mujahideen, jihadists. These will be non-Sunni Muslims and Druze and Christians to combat the Sunni-backed, Saudi Arabia-backed, American-backed, European-backed Sunni Muslim jihadists. And that collectively they're going to be able to deploy a well-armed, well-trained force of 100,000 mujahideen. Not one at Iran's foreign, no one at Iran's foreign ministry was available for comment. But, of course, what are they going to say? They're going to say the same thing they say about their nuclear program. Oh, this is for peaceful purposes. And, of course, in the case of nuclear fuel, 4% enrichment is what you strive for to run a power-generating reactor. And 100% of the fuel in Iran's program is between 20 and 90%. Useless for the expressed position of Iran. The same thing is true here. They just simply lie. In fact, lying is legal in Islam. Taqiyya, it's called the legal lie. Muhammad brought the concept to Muslims. You should lie, he told Muslims, to make your victims, our victims, easier prey. But if the reports by Syrian fighters are true, the move to train combatants in Iran suggests that their country's increasing regionalized conflict has grown well beyond and could even outlast a battle for power between Assad's circle and the opposition. That has always been the case. This became a civil war when Saudi Arabia didn't like the growing influence of Shiite Iran in the region because the United States gave Iraq to Iran. And by so doing, Syria, which had been a client of Iraq, was now a client of Iran. And because of the growth and power of Hezbollah and the killing of the Christian leaders in Lebanon, now Iran controls a great swath of territory, which gives it direct access to the north and east portions of Israel. The Sauds, who have always thought that they were better, that they should be more powerful and more influential, didn't like it. So they aided and abetted, weaponized the conflict, and hundreds of thousands have died as a consequence.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that